As according to Rabbi Yehuda, if a Geirus sees Dam subsequent to her Geirus, there's no Lamafreya. She's only Tmei Odaya Shaita from the moment that she sees the Dam. Rabbi Yossi says, no, the Gzera of Me'es Le'es and Pekida L'Pekida of Lamafreya applies even to a Geirus, but Tosus points out that that's not 24 hours before the Dam. If that 24-hour period comes before her Geirus, it could only be maximum back to her Geirus. So let's say there is time T1, time T2, time T3, T1 is 24 hours before her Rias Dam. Time T2 within that 24-hour period is the moment of the Geirus. Time T3 is the moment that she saw Dam. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda would say that she's only Tmeya from time T3, Rabbi Yossi would go back to time T2, which would mean Mipkida Pekido L'Meis L'Eis before the Rias Dam, but after the Geirus, not that part of the 24 hours which came before the Geirus. So in other words, Rabbi Yossi is ruling to accept part of the Gzeirat d'Rabbanan without accepting the entire Gzeirat d'Rabbanan. That's the halfway measure. Rabbi Yehuda is not willing to have a halfway measure. Now, since the earliest time that she could possibly become Tmeya, if you want to apply the Mafreya, would be from the moment of her Geirus, and therefore a certain period of time before that, whether it's Pekida time, whether it's Eis L'Eis time, would be cut off from this Gzeira. So you've had a half measure Gzeira. There's no such thing as a half measure Gzeira. Rabbi Yossi is willing to accept that we take Me'es L'Eis, even if we cannot take the entire Me'es L'Eis, but we can go as far back as possible, meaning back to the moment of Hageris. So that's Machlokes number one between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi as far as the status of a Geirus is concerned vis-a-vis Tumas Nida. The second Machlokes is going to be a Machlokes about Hamtana. So let's just see where we're up to now. We're here on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, and we started the Braisa with Dayashaita, Rabbi Yossi Omeri, Kachal Nashim Tam Eislaes Pekidu Kida. Now the Braisa addresses the question of Hamtana. Utsricha Lahamtin Shlosha Chadashim Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So we assume, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that she would have had a relationship that from which she could have become pregnant right before her Geirus. And if we would allow her to get married immediately, we would not be able to tell La'avchin bein Zera Posel Zera Kosh. We wouldn't know who the father of the child is. Hence, we have to wait 3 months before she's allowed to get married. Rabbi Yossi, Matil Yoris Linase Miyat. Rabbi Yossi does not accept the Gzera, the requirement of Hamtana, in the case of a Gioris, and you could take it in one of two ways. You could either say that Rabbi Yossi his opinion is that she would already anticipate before the Geirus that she is going to be Mizgaya, and therefore in preparation thereof she abstains from any intimate relationship to guarantee that she wouldn't get pregnant, or maybe she uses some sort of method of contraception, as we'll soon see. But in any event, the very underlying premise of Rabbi Yehuda here that requires Hamtana is that she had this relationship right before her Geirus. And in the case of a Shvuya, the Gemara thinks by analogy, she would have had a relationship as a captive, and that would go up all the way up to the moment of her Pidyon, which means that she's not in the Cheskes Psula. So how could Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah say that B'Kedushasa Kaimei and she still has a Cheskes Psula, and then at the same time Rabbi Yehuda requires Hamtana? That's the kasha of the Gemara. Now, the underlying analogy here between a Gioris and a Shvuya is very odd offhand, because Rav Yehuda himself only argues against the Tanakhama in the case of a Shvuya. He doesn't seem to have any problem with Gioris, meaning a Gioris, if the Gioris took place after the girl reached the age of 3, Rav Yehuda admits to the Chachamim that she doesn't get any knas, and the assumption is that up until the Gerus she would have had a relationship. And Rav Yehuda in this brisa requiring Hamtana of Shlosha Chadosh in the case of Gerus is certainly consistent. There's no stira. You know, Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah is talking about Shvuya, and in the case of Shvuya, she certainly does whatever she can to prevent, to prevent any sort of a violation. Meaning, when I say violation, I'm not talking about an avera. What I mean to say that she shouldn't be violated with some sort of sexual relationship, which would possibly for kahuna, for example, and would be detrimental to her status in general for ksuba, etc. And therefore, she would do whatever she could and maybe successfully maintain her status quo situation as a basula b'kedushasa kaima. That's interesting in and of itself. There's a tosis here that addresses this issue. You'll see this here. Tzrichos, he seems to assume that the Gemara understands that in the case of Gerus, once the decision was made, there's an assumption on our part that the future Gioris is already preparing herself for Gerus, and she would certainly not want to disqualify herself or to kahuna and so forth and so on. Well, no, forget about kahuna because we're talking about a Gioris, but she certainly would not want to become pregnant. And if Rav Yehuda nevertheless rules that she has to wait that period of time, in other words, even though for sure she was preparing and anticipating her Gerus, nevertheless she lives in that environment, a non-Jewish environment, and she's still suspect. You know, we were afraid that she had some sort of physical intimate relationship, and she might have even gotten pregnant from that relationship, and that goes all the way up till the moment of her Gerus. There it was really her decision to have this intimate relationship. Rav Yehuda says we assume that she would have gone ahead and do with it. Kavachomer, how much more so in the case of a Shvuya, where she doesn't have much of a shot at beating up the one who took her into Shevi in some sort of a physical thing. In other words, she's really in a position of subjugation. How much more so would Rabbi Yehuda logically or consistently worry about the fact that she had this relationship, and hence she should forfeit her status as a psula vis-a-vis the knas of onus umafata. So Rav Yosef responds to Rav Papa. Keep in mind that if you take a look back to the Gemara, it was just 1 second. Let's see. Rav Papa was the one who says that according to Rav Yehuda, v'kedushas kaima, and once he's part of the shvuyah, he could marry her. The kohen himself could marry her. And now we had, just 1 second, let's just get the names, because yesterday the recording got cut off. Oh, it's Romilei Rav Papa Bar Shmuel Rav Yosef. And now Rav Yosef responds to Rav Papa Bar Shmuel, Gioris Ashvuya Karamis, are you asking a stira between Gioris and Shvuya? Gioris lo menatra nafsha, Shvuya menatra nafsha. In the case of a Gioris, she's living amongst the Goyim, and she's not yet a Gioris, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda at least is worried about her having a relationship and she becoming pregnant right up to the Geiris. But in the case of Shmuya, she is going to go out of her way to protect herself. Again, how much protection she can afford for herself, that's an interesting question, but that's Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. She understands that chances are, let's say, being optimistic, that she would eventually be redeemed, re-enter the Jewish society, and she would like to obviously retain her status b'kedushasa as a besula. Now we go back to Rav Papa Bar Shmuel, v'rami shvuya shvuya. Now let's find another braisa where Rav Yehuda addresses the case of a shvuya directly and explicitly. And the braisa says, "Hagioris v'shvuya v'shivcha shenivtu v'nisgayru v'nistachru yiseres al benos shol shon v'yom echad trichos lahamtin shlosha chadoshim." Divrei Rav Yehuda. So as far as Hamtan is concerned, you know, we spoke about Gioris, and Rabbi Yehuda did not require Hamtan in the case of Gioris. That's one thing, but here the Bryce explicitly mentions a Shvuya, and just like Rabbi Yehuda requires Hamtan in the case of Gioris, he requires Hamtan in the case of Shvuya, and that's Lehedja here in this Braisa. Tzrichos Lahamtin Shlosha Chadoshim. Now, we want to know how to be Mavchin being Zera Apostle Zera Kosh. It means that she certainly had a relationship during her Shevi, and hence, after her redemption, she's going to have to wait three months. Rav Yossi, Matil li ores v'li nase miyad. So Rav Yossi is not worried about the possibility of a Gioris or a Shvuya to have had a Bia before the Gioris, before the Shichrur. He doesn't require Hamtana. But getting back to Rav Yehuda requires Hamtana. So how do we reconcile that with Rav Yehuda that Mishnah, who says that a Gioris receives Knas, and she's Becheskas Psula. Ishtik. So Rav Yosef did not have an answer to this question. Omale, but he turns to Rav Papa Bar Shmuel, who asked him this question, said, Midi Shmielach Beha. Perhaps you know an answer to this question, how to reconcile these two opinions of Rav Yehuda, the one mentioned in that Mishnah and the one here in the Braisa. So Amalei, Hachi Amar Rav Sheshes, this is what I heard from Sheshes, Shara'ua Shenivola. The Braisa is addressing a case where there are Edim who saw that during her Shevi she had Bia. And the question is why then Rav Yossi doesn't require Hamtana. But in any event, once we have the exception to the rule, we could extrapolate what the rule is. By implication, Rabbi Yud is saying we don't have to be choshish for bia in the case of a gioris. I'm sorry, the case of shvuya. The exception is the shvuya where there are edim that testify that she had bia. Ihachi. So the Gemara asks the obvious question: my time of the Rabbi Yossi, why does he waive the requirement of havchana if she had bia? We have Aiden to that effect. Omer Rava, Kasov Rav Yosef, Isha Mezana Meshameshes B'moch Shalotis Aber. So again, Rav Yossi never disagreed with Rav Yehuda about the possibility of any of these women having bia. and that bia would require normally havchana. But the answer is, although she's not so careful about avoiding bia, she's very careful about avoiding pregnancy. And the Gemara initially thinks that she prepares in advance by inserting a moch as a kind of a diaphragm of contraception to prevent conception. We can rely, according to Rabbi Yossi at least, on the viability and the successful nature of this moch. So really we're relying on two things. Number one, that she prepared herself before this bia with a moch. Number two, that the moch will be effective. And therefore we're not choshish that she became pregnant, and therefore she doesn't have to wait the 3 months. So the Gemara says the following. Bishlam Giores, in a number of these cases, let's take Giores and even Shruya for that matter, she can anticipate what's going to happen down the line. Came in the daiteli giure menatra nafshe or shvuyanami deloyada hecha mamtula. So in the cases of Giores and Shvuyah, she anticipates. Why? In the case of Giores, she's already set a date for her gerus. She knows that she's going to show up in Bezdin, so she certainly doesn't want to become pregnant. And in the case of a Shvuyah, is she doesn't know lo yada hecha mamtula. Let's translate that literally. She doesn't know where she's being taken. In other words, she might be sold to a Jewish community, and that's where the redemption will take place. So she wants to make sure that she's not pregnant from a non-Jewish captor. And Shivcha Nami, even in the case of Shivcha, at least, now Shivcha is going to subdivide into two cases, but at least in the case of Shichra, where the Adon, the master, gave her a get Shichra, she already heard about it. Tishama mipi mara. She heard from her master that the intention the intention is for him to give her a get Shichra, and therefore she already anticipates shichur, so she doesn't want to get pregnant with a non-Jewish man during her shivchus, which is about to culminate, and she'll become a full-fledged gioris once her adon, her master, gives her a get shichur. Oh, so now the Gemara says, but there's another category of Shivcha that we have to worry about, where she goes free, not as a result of the free decision of the Adon to give her get Shivcha, but rather Yotza B'Shein V'Yayin, in cases where he took out a limb of hers, and this is in Shmos Perek Chof Aleph, the Torah says that he sends her free if he takes out a tooth or an eye. And there's no way she could have anticipated that. So how could she have taken precaution by putting in a moch before a bia? Michael, maybe what are you going to say about that case? And apparently Rabbi Yossi, since he said Giorish and Ishtachra does not need Hamtana, apparently it's an all-inclusive statement. He didn't make any exceptions in the case of Shein V'Yayin, for example. V'chi Teiman, if you'll say, Kol Memela Lo Omar Rabbi Yossi, maybe we could say that there's a definite distinction here between two types of Shichur. Shichur, he's talking about where the Adon gave or get Shichur on his own initiative, with his own will and decision, free decision. But in a case of Shein V'Yayin, right, that's not called Mimela. So I'll ask you the following question. Are Reanusa Mafuta de Mimela? Even here, it's not something that you can anticipate. Visanya, and yet we learned in a Braisa, Anusa Umefuta tzrichos lahamtin shlosha chadosh divrei Rav Yehuda Rav Yossi matil yarisvili nase miyad. So what's going on here with Rav Yossi? Rav Yossi is saying that we know about a woman who had this bia relationship out of wedlock, and we're going to allow her to get married immediately. That's the case of Anusa, that's the case of Afuta. I mean, Rav Yehuda makes a lot of sense. He says we need Amtani here, we have to know who's the father. But according to Rav Yossi, for some reason... Now again, you can't use the logic of, well, she anticipated, just like in the case of Shichrur mi biyotza b'shem v'ayin, you can't assume that she anticipated. So basically what the Gemara is looking for is a way of avoiding pregnancy, even if an unexpected bia took place. And that's where the Gemara answers, Elo amar Rabba kasav Rav Yossi isha mezana mishapechas kidei shelo tis'aber, that there is a fallback method of contraception that could apply even in the case of a woman who did not anticipate, you know, the occurrence of bia was sudden, but she could do a post-coital contraception, and that's called misapeches kidei shelo tisaber. Now, it seems that Rabbi Yossi relies on this method of contraception. If she gets the zera out of her body immediately after the bia, it won't impregnate her. So that's called misapeches kidei shelo tisaber. But either by Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, he's not going to rely on the viability of misapeches. Chayshin shem alo nefcha yofa yofa. This is not really a valid or reliable method of contraception. Okay, fine. Now, when it says here that according to Rabbi Yossi, Isha Mizanim Sapeches, this applies not just, you take a look at the language of Yossi, Kol Memela, etc. It sounds like Rabbi Yossi is going to apply this logic even to a shvuya. So for example, we had a question here about Shein V'ayin. She didn't anticipate that she would go free. Why would she have taken protections and used them both? The answer is not that she used them both, but Rabbi Yossi is relying on misapeches. You know, she does this jerking movement and she somehow is able to push the zera out of her body and she will not become pregnant. And that allows us to go back to the premise that when Rabbi Yossi said in the case of Shivcha that Mutal Yaris Vilinase Miyad, he didn't tell us which case of Shivcha, he didn't specify, and therefore we have a reason to assume that it refers to any shivcha. Okay, then, so this is where we're going to stop. This was Hashlam of yesterday's shir. I think we called it Chazor Shir number 12, yesterday's shir. And that was given far away from Yerushalayim. Tomorrow, Emir Tzashem, Bli Neder, we want to start the sugya of Kimle B'Rabmine with regard to Misa and Malkus. Let's say, for example, if a person violated an Iser and he incurred both a Chiv Misa and a Chiv Malkus, would we apply Kimle B'Rabmine? And if so, do we derive this from Kidei Rishoso? And in general, to try to figure out the scope or the reins, you know, where does the drasha of Valoya Son and Oceanesh, where does that reign supreme, and where does Kidei Rishoso Mishum Rishachas, where does that take over? So that's a Mirtz Hashem for tomorrow.